Hello, I'm Preston Schlankofer. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio, where we discuss all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disasters might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. This week, we're speaking with Judith Whitman about the value of essential oils in your grid-down arsenal. So we will get to her in just a minute, but first, a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to my editor and the company that hosts my podcast platform, sitchradio.com. That's S-I-T-C-H radio.com. If you're looking to start a podcast, they are the ones to go to. They do a great job for me, and they make me sound so good. I'm amazed each week at how well this program turns out. If you're interested, check out sitchradio.com. They also have a meetup that you can get on and just learn about podcasting and whether you want to be part of the growing industry of podcasts. All right, so check them out. We are going to be speaking with Judith Whitfield. She is a nurse LPN by training and a certified aromatherapist through the Pacific Institute of Aromatherapy. Currently, she is an instructor at a local private college teaching anatomy and physiology to aspiring medical assistants. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio, Judith.
Thank you, Preston. I appreciate you inviting me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I've spoken to you. You're friends of mine and my wife's, and it's a conversation we've had a lot about essential oils and the value of essential oils in especially in uncertain times when there aren't possibly other things available. There's herbologists and other people out there, but there's a benefit to having a well-stocked and prepared resource kit that includes essential oils. I think you would agree.
I do.
So can you give us a little bit more information about your background and what got you started on essential oils?
Well, a friend asked me several years ago, would I please look into essential oils? Had I heard of them? And I had not. So I agreed, yes, I would research for her. I did about 2 weeks of research for her, and I said, gee, these look really viable. They're Mother Nature's chemicals. However, I had not used any or had any experience, so I couldn't tell her, yes, go for essential oils or not. And I continued to explore after I gave her my opinion for another month or so. I asked my husband to explore essential oils as well. And at the end of the 6-week period of time, 2 weeks for her, 4 weeks for myself, we said, let's start purchasing some essential oils.
That kind of mimics how my wife and I got involved. I found an article in a survival magazine, and I showed it to her, and I said, do you know anything about this? And she goes, no. So she started digging into it. And a few days later, she said, this is what I found. The rest is history. We've been sold on the concept of oils for a long time. And, we've added essential oils to our regimen to stay healthy with our vitamins and eating well, non-GMO foods and organic foods whenever possible. So, we credit the oils with our success at staying healthy.
You know, that sounds so much like my story and my husband's story. I actually started into essential oil 7 years ago, and I cannot say I was very healthy at that point in time, although I thought I was. However, with the use of essential oils and addressing issues like sleeping well, eating right, reducing stress, reducing toxic load, using the essential oils, addressing exercise, things like that, my health and my husband's health has improved immensely. And we do have to credit essential oils with part of that structure. You have to look at life as a piece of, as a pie, and everything fits in like a piece or a slice of the pie. And essential oils are a big slice for me.
Yes, I agree totally. We've talked on this subject quite a bit, but can you, I mean, you know, between us, when we've gotten together, can you give our listeners some idea of what the pure essential oils are, you know, quality testing, and then we can move into benefits. But I think having an understanding of how they're acquired and their makeup probably would be beneficial.
Oh my goodness, you asked a very loaded question. So many parts to that. Well, let's start with what essential oils are. They are naturally produced chemicals produced by plant life, and they're not like us where we have a circulatory system for our blood. These essential oils are part of their cellular structure, and they make these chemicals to help them fight off predators or things that would threaten their survival. So they make essential oils, or they make these chemical products that actually help them fight off bacteria, viruses, things like funguses, molds, parasites, bugs, or anything along that line that would try and invade it. They even make chemicals that would deter them from being eaten, not just by bugs, but by animals. So different plants make different products, but they're all designed to support the plant. What we know about plant DNA is that human DNA is very similar to plant DNA, and that very often these essential oils that are locked into the plant cells, if we can extract them and extract them properly so that they are not destroyed in the process, those essential oils often have benefits for the human and support the human body the way they support the plant life. Extraction methods are very, very important. There are many different kinds of extraction methods, one of the best being kind of a low steam distillation. It's a process whereby the actual chemical is not destroyed. They can also be pressed out. We get essential oils from citruses by pressing the peel. So in some cases, the essential oils are pressed out instead of steam distilled. There's a CO2 kind of distillation that's very expensive, but produces a nice quality essential oil. There are other ways to take the oils out of the plant matter. You have to rupture the cell of the plant matter in order to get the essential oil out. But very often, they destroy the benefits of the chemical. So it's very important to know where you are getting your essential oil, because a company may call it pure, but it may not be valuable.
Okay. So the DNA of the oil itself, or from the plant, is ruptured and it's no longer beneficial.
The cell of the plant that the essential oil or the chemical is locked into, that cell must be ruptured and the chemical itself not destroyed. Let me liken it to a scenario for you.
Okay.
Have you ever heard that the quality of a vegetable is best when it's fresh?
Yes.
And when it's raw? Okay. Generally speaking, that's true, that vegetables are best when they're fresh and they're best when they're raw. There are a few vegetables that are better if you cook them, simply because you help to break them down and they're a little more digestible. But in general, fresh and raw. The minute you start to cook and the minute you start to do other things to the vegetable, you're actually destroying the property of the vegetable. That can be true with an essential oil as well. You don't want to destroy the beneficial properties of the chemical.
So that lends to the quality of the product that you're purchasing.
True.
Yeah, so you want to get the most pure product that's processed correctly in order to get the most benefit.
True. That is what you want. And there's an entire process. It starts with something that we call organoleptic testing. We all do organoleptic testing every day. We're not even aware that we're doing it. But if you go into the kitchen and you open your refrigerator and you find a meal that was prepared a few days ago, and you open the container, what do?
You smell.
You look at it. Mm-hmm. Does it look right? Does it smell right? Correct. You were going there. Does it smell right? Does it even taste right? Does it taste off? If any of those things are wrong, you know right off there is something wrong.
Yeah. I had visions of sour milk. As a kid, I used to find that all the time.
I had visions of mold on the sour cream we rarely use, and I opened a container the other day and just had to toss it.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, you talked about quality. How do you know if you're getting a good quality product?
For one thing, you need to know what kind of testing the company that you get your oils from performs. Many of them perform something they call gas chromatography, mass spectrometry. The problem with a GCMS testing is that it can let synthetics sneak by undetected.
Mm.
There have to be more tests than that. And you need to know what tests are being performed, and you need to know what the outcome is of the tests that are performed. There are very few companies that do the testing that's required and publish those findings. The company I get my essential oils through does do that testing. They label every batch. There's a number on the bottom of the bottle, and I can actually go to a site that shows me what the testing was and what the outcome of the testing was.
Hmm.
Very important.
Yeah, that would be very important.
When I took an aromatherapy class through Pacific Institute of Aromatherapy, that particular institute is run by a gentleman named Dr. Kurt Schnaubelt. Dr. Schnaubelt is a chemist, and he has been working with essential oils since the 1970s. I spoke with him personally. He said to me, many, many essential oil companies do GCMS testing, but don't do extra testing. He listed many of the extra tests that are required. And I found that the company I order essential oils through does each and every single one of those tests and more. And they do it through a third-party agency, not just in-house, but they go outside and they ask another a university that has a lab that does testing to also do third-party testing, and they look at side-by-side comparisons of the testing to make sure that everybody's on board with the exact same results. If they get results that are variable, they send the oil back to the grower, and they do not use it or distribute that oil.
Mm.
And there's a really, really important reason why. Molecularly speaking, essential oils are very tiny. Their particles are extremely small, and they can penetrate skin. So if you put an essential oil on your skin, this is called topical application. If you apply an essential oil to your skin, within a few seconds, I could draw your blood and see that the essential oil is already in your bloodstream.
No,
and within 21 minutes, very quick uptake, and within 21 minutes, I would find it on every cell of your body. That's because the particles are so tiny. I'd like to reference a book here because I'm going to give you a comment from the book. There is a book I read, very interesting, and I highly recommend it to everybody. It is called Healing Oils of the Bible by Dr. David Stewart. He's a PhD with a PhD in chemistry, and he said that one drop of pure essential oil has the power to place 40,000 molecules on each and every cell of your body.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Dr. Kurt Schnaubelt says that each and every drop of essential oil has these teeny weeny molecules that are curled up, much like snails are curled up, and that what we do in order to protect our skin and enhance the benefit of the oil is we add a drop of essential oil to a drop of a carrier being a plain oil like olive oil or fractionated coconut oil. That's coconut oil in liquid form. And when we apply a drop of essential oil to a drop of a carrier oil, it allows the essential oil molecules to unfurl or expand. And you actually get a better application because the carrier acts as a buffer to your skin and prevents irritation from the essential oil. It also acts a little bit like extended release. If I applied a carrier oil that's plain to my skin and then applied a drop of essential oil, the carrier oil would act like a blocker.
Okay.
Much like we do when we butter a slice of bread before we put, or we use mayonnaise maybe, before we put something else down on top of it. It blocks the bread from absorbing whatever we've put on top.
Okay.
So it can be used as a blocker. If I put a drop of oil on my skin that's essential oil, and then I add the buffer, which is the carrier oil, I drive the essential oil in. But if I use the essential oil drop in the carrier and I mix the two together, and then I apply it topically to my skin, in that case, the non-essential oil, the carrier oil, acts as a buffer and a time release mechanism and allows the oil to be more slowly absorbed. And by the way, one drop of essential oil is considered a serving.
Oh, wow.
Very, very little essential oil is needed to be effective.
Yeah, that's quite remarkable. That's talking about condensing the benefit.
Yes, truly.
Yeah. Now there are a few things out there. Before I get to that, now I've seen oils that are recommended for topical or diffusing, but not for internal use. There are a lot of oils out there that are authorized for internal use because they're used in cooking, so or flavoring. So there's that. Can you touch on that, and then maybe talk about some of the oils that you should be cautious of to use topically without being cut by a carrier oil?
Any oil with a spice name is going to feel hot on your skin. It will be spicy, just like it says. So name an oil that's a spice name, a cooking spice. Preston?
Clove.
Clove. Bingo.
That's my favorite.
Cinnamon. Oh, I love clove.
Yeah.
Clove has special properties. I'm going to tell you why you need it in your arsenal in just a moment.
Okay.
But let's talk about hot oils. Thyme, cinnamon, peppermint, lemongrass. Rosemary. Can you think of any others?
Black pepper. Is that hot?
Black pepper.
Yeah.
Basil. All of the oils that have a cooking spice name, please, please add to a carrier before using topically.
Yeah. That's definitely recommended.
If they have a spicy name, they're going to be spicy on your skin.
Yeah. There are some cautions out there. Is there, Let's discuss a little bit about maybe some contraindications with prescription drugs.
Okay. There are contraindications. Unfortunately, our allopathic medicine professionals, our doctors, our nurse practitioners, our physician's assistants, they're not trained in the use of essential oils. So they often do not know how to use essential oils with certain medications. That being said, I will not do anything against my doctor's advice, period. My doctor actually, I have control over things like what I eat, my exercise, how much I sleep, reducing my stress, reducing toxic load in the house. I have control over that. But when my doctor says, oh, goodness sakes, you have high blood pressure, which I do not, by the way. But if my doctor said I did and suggested a particular medication, then it would be my choice. Do I do what my doctor says? Yes. If my doctor said, oh, you better stop a certain essential oil, would I follow his advice? Yes, I would, because essential oils are not designed to be your medicines. They assist your body in doing what it's naturally supposed to do, but they're not a replacement for your doctor, and we all need to be careful about that. So that being said, there are essential oils that will interfere with blood thinners, chemotherapy. Let me see. They sometimes interfere with MAO inhibitors. MAO inhibitors, monoamine oxidase inhibitors, they're a type of antidepressant that certain people are on. If you're on a MAO inhibitor, you know it because your doctor is very careful to tell you that you must be careful when you take this medication. There are very, very strict guidelines that you must observe when you're on a MAO inhibitor. If you're on a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, we call those SSRIs, there are essential oils that may interfere with that. Most of these cases are when you use the essential oil internally. So this is not a topical application. This is not a diffused application or one where you're even sniffing gently from the top of the bottle. We're talking about internal use. Therefore, I do not recommend internal use to people. I'm very careful about that. Will I take an essential oil internally? Personally, I have, because I have found a couple of items that have helped me tremendously, but they are with my doctor's agreement.
Yes, and that's wise. So you're going to provide a few links for us, and we'll put that at the bottom of the show notes. There's a book that a lot of us use to figure out what kind of oil to use for different things, for aromatic, for topical use and things like that. So it's Modern Essentials. There's different versions of it. The most modern or most recent one is pretty well authored. They have a lot of backup citations in the book as well. It's definitely a good resource to have, wouldn't you say?
I absolutely love Modern Essentials. Absolutely love it. It's easy to use. It's very well written. The sources for the information are quoted. It's just a dynamo book of information in and of itself. If I only owned one book to use with essential oils, that would be the book, Modern Essentials. And you can get it from a site called aromatools.com. However, this book is so wonderful. It makes using the essential oils simple. What if you went to a pharmacy and you were in the pharmacy and you said, I have a headache, and no pharmacist was there to recommend you on over-the-counter medications for reducing your headache? What if you had a problem like that? If the pharmacy had a big book and you could go to the book and flip through it and say, ooh, I've got head discomfort, what am I going to use? Well, it would list several things. Probably it would list things like, being a nurse, I'm going to tell you, aspirin's an analgesic, helps to reduce pain or relieve discomfort. Aspirin, acetaminophen, which is Tylenol, ibuprofen, which we know is Motrin. There are some others, but you would be able to look and make your own selection. This book operates that way, where if I had an upset stomach, I could go to the book, look up upset stomach, and see what the book would recommend.
Yes, and there's always a good reason to have your own resources for taking care of yourself, especially in times that are disastrous times, like this recent problem that we had with the virus, the pandemic. you know, what if our society disintegrated and we were left without the benefits of the hospitals and medical care and everything that we're used to? There's a lot of countries that have gone through wars and disasters and famine and pestilence that we have been protected against. But
you know what you would be hoping in that situation, Preston?
What's that?
You would be hoping that your grandmother or your great-grandmother was still alive because they used what we now call our alternative therapies or alternative modalities to treat everything. They knew that if you had an upset stomach, you could mix a little baking soda and water. They knew that if you were coming down with sniffles and sneezing, that you maybe would eat the rind of an orange, that you eat an orange peel. My father gave that to my sister and me all the time. First sign of a sniffle, we would eat an orange peel. But guess what? The essential oil that you squeeze out of an orange peel is highly antiviral and it's cleansing.
Interesting how that works, huh?
So it's simply an aid to your system.
Yes.
It's just a way to benefit you, to aid you.
You know, there's a lot of wisdom in the old practices of taking care of yourself. You know, we've become a just-in-time society, and we rely on the conveniences of modern electronics and distribution. And, you know, there may be a time in the future, ding, 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 a time in the future that may not be available any longer. So we have to do our training and learn about things that could give us a better edge on survival once those are not around. That'll have to be the last word. Civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with the guide found on our resources page at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to also check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio and on Twitter at civil_def_radio, where we post information about the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. I wish to thank Judith again for being on the show, and I'd like to thank you, our friends and listeners who are with us on a regular basis. I really appreciate you being with us this week. So please, be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.